listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, grace to you and peace this day from God who comes to us in peace. Amen. I want to begin by inviting you to take a moment to turn to your neighbor. If you have to get up and move to talk to someone, you're welcome to do that. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to describe to her or to him the most impressive building in which you've ever been in your life. What is the most impressive building? It doesn't have to be a religious building. It could be. Maybe it's a cathedral, but maybe it's an athletic stadium. Maybe it's a building somewhere downtown in D.C. Maybe it's a skyscraper or a castle you visited one time. Think about it for a moment, and then go ahead and share with your neighbor the most impressive building you've ever been in your life. All right, let's share some responses. Would anybody just be willing to shout out something that their neighbor told them? Something that their neighbor told them. The Colosseum. Shark Cathedral. Thank you.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, Katie.
The Louvre.
Very good.
The Capitol.
Absolutely. Good.
The Eiffel Tower.
You've been to the Eiffel Tower, Katie? Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you. Maybe you had to think about this for just a second, all the places you've been, different buildings, and which one you wanted to say today here. But for the people of Jesus' time and Jesus' place, this would not have been an interesting question at all. Everybody knew what the most impressive building was in that time. It was the temple in Jerusalem. There was nothing like it. It was the only large building most of those people had ever seen. In the gospel text today, as some of the disciples are admiring this building, what large stones they say, what huge building, Jesus prophesies. He says, do you see these stones? You see this temple? Do you see this cathedral or this stadium or this art museum or this skyscraper, this castle? Not a stone will be left on stone. In other words, all earthly things will eventually deteriorate and waste away, as glorious as they might be right now. But my body, Jesus says to us also today, my body will rise up through the ashes. Friends in Christ, Jesus speaks to us today about ultimate things, the end of the world, the end of our life. And thank God for that. The world will end. Our lives will end. But Christ will rise up through the ashes and take us with him to shower the ruined world, the dead, and all creation with compassion and righteousness. Thank God for that. Christ will rise up through the ashes, the crumbled buildings, and the wasted empires to rule all in all. This is our text today. Come this morning, sisters and brothers in Christ, receive the comfort of God in the midst of our fears and our tears. Do you ever worry about the world coming to an end? You wouldn't be alone. It seems like no matter what era, what period, what administration, what chapter we find ourselves in, someone is always able to relate to these texts about nations rising against nations and earthquakes, kingdom against kingdom, natural disasters, whether the halls of power are dominated by Democrats some years or Republicans other years. There's always someone saying, uh-oh, this is the end, right? With fires and hurricanes and blizzards, and for decades now, mass shootings. Maybe the fears and the tears come from whatever political party is not currently in power. Or maybe it's on our TV sets or our radios or our screens. Or maybe that voice is in our own heads when we read passages like this or newspaper headlines. That voice Uh-oh. The end is at hand. But here's what's at the heart of our readings for today, friends in Christ. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. That's actually in the book of Romans, but it's at the heart of today too. I think our texts today are summed up by Romans. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. Come, you who are scared about the end of the world. Come, you who are scared about the end of the church. Come, you who are scared about the end of your own life. Come, you who are terrified about what's going on now or what might be next. Come, all are welcome in this place. Come and receive the comfort of God this day, offered to us in the bread and the wine and the water of the font and the holy word we read today. The comfort and presence of our God is the antidote to our fears and our tears. Our places of worship, which aren't necessarily church these days, our stadiums and our shopping malls and our Amazon.coms and our Facebooks, our places of worship will all be gone one day. Those are places, by the way, where we can, if we're honest, put our trust and our time and our money and our energy. Not us, though. Not us Lutherans, of course. We put our trust in other places. Maybe our beloved places of worship, as I said with the children, our churches, where Christianity is studied and preached and practiced, feel like they're slipping away at times. Nobody cares anymore, I hear. I don't happen to believe this, actually. I think it's an exciting time to be the church. Things are changing, but the challenges are more like a refiner's fire. But I've been wrong before, and sometimes we forget that everything we have is ultimately God's, and it can be gone even in the blink of an eye. But even if we were to lose everything, sisters and brothers who follow Jesus, remember that Christ rises up through the ashes to save us, to heal us, to redeem us, and to comfort us. Can we trust that promise? We're talking about ultimate things today. Can we open our hands to receive this gift of God freely, which is given in Jesus Christ? The church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ. The church is you and me. It's the generations and generations that came before us and the generations that will come after us, thanks be to God. The church of Jesus Christ will live forever wherever two or three are gathered, wherever the word is preached and the sacraments are administered. It's okay. God's got this. What if this structure were to fall down? That's worth asking with our text today. What if this structure were gone? What if this beautiful building was reduced to a pile of ashes along Little River Turnpike? Would Bethlehem Lutheran Church still exist? Kids? Yes! Right? Because the church is the people. The church is the people. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Christ rises up through the ashes. Our God lives not confined to buildings and rituals, which will rise and fall. But our God lives among us. There's a story of a seminary professor who started his New Testament class by walking into the class with a Bible. And the class is chattering like you do at the beginning of class. I hadn't been called to order yet. And he just quietly walked into the front of the classroom with that Bible. And then he took the Bible. I would never do this, by the way. Wouldn't recommend you do it either. He was making a point. He took the Bible and he chucked it against the wall. Bang! Falls on the ground. Class got quiet all of a sudden. What did he just do? And then he said, "Our God doesn't live in the Bible. Our God lives among us, in and with and through us. Our God is alive and moving in this place, in this world, in this church." And then he goes over, picks up the Bible, dusts it off. Shall we begin class now? Yeah. He's making that point that God is not confined to these pages or to these buildings, that God is alive and well in this world as we seek ways to love and care for each other and for this hurting and frightened world. Maybe our reading from Hebrews today that Ron read might be a guide for us. It says, let's wait for God by caring for each other. By caring for each other, let's lift one another up. The words were exactly, let's provoke one another to love and good deeds. Even as terror is happening all around, let's be the church together. Let us wait for God by reaching out to others. Martin Luther famously and allegedly said this wonderful thing. He said, maybe you've heard this quote a million times, but he said, if I knew the world were ending tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree today. Heard that quote? If I knew the world were ending tomorrow, I'd still plant my apple tree today. Commit that to memory. That's important. That's about reaching out. Even with the terror all around us, we continue to be faithful. We continue to do good things. Because that's what God has asked us to do. And God has promised to always, always hold us, sisters and brothers in Christ. Someday it will all end. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe light years from now. But remember this day and always that whether we live or whether we die, whether this world lives or whether it dies, we belong to Christ. May that strong word, that enduring promise, that unshakable truth be your comfort this day in all that you do. I'd like to invite us to read, actually, the words of our hymn of the day, just as a kind of a responsive prayer to this message for today. I'd like to invite you to open up your bulletin, your worship folder, and we'll sing it as well. Musicians don't have to get ready to play it just yet, because I think this powerful hymn is really a wonderful poem. So let's just join together and read it as though it is a poem, and then I'll offer a prayer, and then we'll sing it together. Everybody see it on page 11. Through the night of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. Clear before us, through the darkness, gleams and burns the guiding light. Pilgrim clasps the hand of pilgrim, stepping fearless through the night. One, the light of God's own presence on the ransomed people shed, chasing far the gloom and terror, brightening all the path we tread. One, the object of our journey. One, the faith which never tires. One, the earnest looking forward. One, the hope our God inspires. One, the strain that lips of thousands lift as from the heart of one. One, the conflict. One, the peril. One, the march in God begun. One, the gladness of rejoicing on the far eternal shore, where the one Almighty Father reigns in love forevermore. Onward, therefore, sisters, brothers, onward with the cross our aid. Bear its shame and fight its battle till we rest beneath its shade. Soon shall come the great awakening, soon the rending of the tomb, then the scattering of all shadows and the end of toil and gloom. Will you pray with me? O God, our help in ages past, help us now to trust in you. In the midst of our joy, in the midst of our fears and our tears, help us now to trust in you. We give you thanks for the gift of your Son who rises up through the ashes and leads us on our journeys. Continue to hold us together, strengthen our hearts, and assure us of your promise, forgiveness, and your all-embracing love, this day and forevermore. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.